Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Specialists, Phil and Will, are back, and we are recapping the finale of Traders US Season 3. We got our ending, and it's not the ending that either one of us predicted. We were right about the cliffhanger, but this is not the ending that either one. And Will's already given me the eyes of like, no, I predicted this. No, you didn't. We didn't predict this ending. We both thought Brittany was going to be in good shape here, and she was not.
We thought there's a chance Brittany would be in good shape, but we were entertaining the idea of a Dylan win. I never talked about four trader or four faithful winning together. We never discussed that. So I guess that's the surprising part. I don't think the faithful winning was some shocker. Were you shocked by that?
I thought that we talked about last week on the podcast, I felt like it was good for Brittany that Danielle was going and that she was voting for Danielle and all of that, because it's like, okay, Danielle's gone. Like, now are they, you know, Brittany, I thought Dolores and Gabby would play with Brittany. I think we were under the assumption that Brittany or Danielle was going to be the seer. So if Danielle goes home, Brittany becomes the seer. And then what that means is Brittany gets information from one other person, and she plays this perfectly. I mean, she plays the seer situation as well as you can, and we'll dive into that. So she played that perfectly, and I thought, okay, if she plays this perfectly, do Gabby and Dolores really have a mind for what is taking place here, that they're going to be able to see through and not just say, oh, well, I'm friends with Brittany, and she's upset because she had to get rid of Danielle, and that was her friend and whatever, and that's why she was sad. And instead, they all saw right through it, and I was happy to see that all four of them ultimately threw green in at the end, and that Dylan also got to be a winner here, because part of me did think that they were going to eliminate Dylan, and I would have been fine with the Dolores, Ivor, Gabby. I mean, I would have been fine with it just because, like, Dylan, while I think Dylan played the best game, and I think that it can be confirmed pretty much that he played the best game because he was putting his neck out there. He was making reads. He was very vocal. I would have been okay because he did kind of, maybe he was flying too close to the sun, and if they're going to get somebody out, it would have made sense. I mean, ultimately it's much more satisfying that Dylan is there with the win. And I actually think that this is a kind of a fascinating group of four that just won the Traders Season 3, because we came in talking about Carolyn, Boston, Rob, Jeremy, Tony, Danielle, you know, we didn't know Wes. I don't think we knew Wes was going to be on right away, but whatever it was. And when you looked at it, you said, okay, why is Dylan Efron on this? Why is Ivor on this? And then you look at people like Dolores and you look at people like Gabby, they don't tend to do very well on the Traders. This is a random group. And honestly, I'm a fan of the four we got. I am happy that the Big Brothers ultimately lost here, because we didn't need three seasons in a row of gamers winning. it is more satisfying that gamers didn't win this season, because Suri won last season, Trishel and CT split. It is more satisfying that we actually got to see the other end win. So even if they all walk away with $50,000 after all that, $50,000 each.
And then that gets halved with game show tax.
So 25K, and then they're all probably
other fees. So it's probably like 20K, which is not nothing, but for winning the Emmy hit game show on Peacock, the prize money does feel low. Mm-hmm. I do think if Dylan gets banished at the Fire of Truth at the end, then I guess Gabby would then have gotten maybe a bigger edit. Like, they needed to have a face of the winning group, and Dylan was that person. And we haven't seen a group this big win before. Four is quite large. I don't know what's happened in other countries. But you do need like a face of the win, and Dylan was that guy. And it's kind of his win. I think when we look back on season three of Traders US, it's like, oh yeah, that's the season Dylan won. Similar to how you would say Suri won the first season, even though Suri was a sole winner, and Dylan here is just, he's gets it the same amount of money as Dolores. That's how the show works. But it was satisfying, and I was happy for Dylan to win. I think Brittany winning would have been a very lackluster finish, just coming in so late, mm-hmm. not really ever, I mean, barely even murdering anybody. What was her gain? That just, she kind of got lucky that Danielle survived and she was friends from other show and got recruited. And like, what's the gameplay there? Not a lot. Although she did play well tonight, I will say that. But that's, I guess, Phil, I'm like happy with these people winning. I'm happy Dylan won, but was it fun to watch? And was it a good episode? Was it exciting? Like, not really, though. The ending is satisfying. That, like, this is not even close to the best hour of the Traders, and often finales, you know, on any show, whether it's scripted or unscripted, should be the climax, the peak, the most exciting point of your story should happen at the end. And with the Traders, I just don't think it does with the way that the show is set up.
Yeah, look, the cliffhanger, let's break it down piece by piece. Let's break it down piece by piece, because I think that's the best way to do it here. The cliffhanger, does it work for you or no?
I guess. I don't, like, we thought Danielle was going home. Like, I don't know if it wasn't that much of a shock. If we get that at the end of last week's episode, I think it makes last week a little bit better. You get some finality, and then maybe you do the Seer stuff this week. You don't have to start with this, like, you know, we're in the middle of the round table, in the middle of reading the votes. But I don't hate it. I didn't mind it. What do you think? I don't think I really care.
I think that it was the biggest moment of the season, and it was lackluster because it was at the beginning of the episode. Because we all, over the course of a week, all pretty much figured out Danielle's going to be gone anyway, because we had the comment in here. I forget who it was from.
Noah Salmon.
I thought it was a great point where he said, if this was going to be, if they're going to do a cliffhanger and it was going to be a tie, they would have had them getting ready to do the random 50-50 draw as the tie. And that's what ultimately would have been the cliffhanger. So it was a little revealing. We saw Brittany's faces. It seemed pretty telling. And I mean, look, whether you love Danielle or hate Danielle, or you fall somewhere in the middle, Danielle was carrying this show after Boston Rob left. Her versus Carolyn, and then her versus the others. And so for her to go at the beginning of the episode felt a little disappointing to me. And I get why they did the cliffhanger, because, you know, it's the exciting, whoa, what's going to happen? But at the same time, I do feel that it didn't add to this episode, and it actually diminished what was the biggest moment of the season, which is Danielle getting eliminated from the game by Brittany. I think this is better at the end of an episode. This should be a climax. And you know what? You see with TV all the time, sometimes the ninth episode is better than the 10th. And if that's the case, that's the case. And I feel like that's
strategy.
Yeah. And I feel like that maybe is what this needed to be. Now, do I understand that this finale, then you're talking, we have the Seer, we have a helicopter challenge, which we'll talk about. And then we have a round table where Brittany goes home, and then it just gets to four faithful standing around throwing green rocks in. I understand that's not the most exciting TV, but what you added to the beginning of this episode was only, what, a minute it wasn't much. So it, what does it really do? I don't feel like it didn't make this episode better. And again, I think it diminished Danielle's exit, which is a shame because Danielle's exit should have felt like the showstopper of the season. And it didn't.
A couple things to that. One counter would be that Danielle's reaction when she gets voted out and like what she says to each person individually, and then also Brittany's reaction of crying and saying sorry. I do think those two reactions at the round table right after Danielle's those votes are read, that really clued everyone in on Brittany. And if we had gotten that last week, I think everyone is then waiting a week just foreseeing, okay, everyone's now on to Brittany. It's pretty obvious. They're going to vote her out. And then we go to the circle of truth, and it's probably going to be those four. And that might have just been a little bit too, I don't know, might have been too obvious if we get that last week. I do hear what you're saying, though. Like, that does work better at the end of an episode. I'm with you there. Because it almost feels like in the Survivor finales, where it's like the person who goes out fifth, like they kind of, you kind of go, okay, let's move on, move it along, move through it. And they don't get like their full due that vote. Or like, even when we had 6-person finales in like some of the 20-person seasons in the 30s, that person who goes six, it's like, wow, they made it really deep in the game, a big character. And they kind of just get like, all right, let's just speed through this. We have a finale to get through. And not that it really felt that way here, but it just wasn't as impactful. And we had already kind of figured it out. So there's that. This does kind of remind me, though, Phil, you mentioned the whole ninth episode thing. And that's really what HBO shows would always do. Like Game of Thrones was known for doing that. The Wire would always do that. Survivor kind of did this in season 47. We had a 2-part finale, and the first part was amazing. But then we were sitting there with 4 people left, and we're like, okay, so Rachel wins, right? Like, that's it. Like, what's this finale going to be? It almost felt like an epilogue. And that's kind of what it was, and that was fine. And we were okay with that. So maybe last week should have been the big grand finale, and then this week could have been the nice little epilogue with a faithful win. I don't know. I mean, because you have to make your finale epic. Like, that's the job of the show. But it's tough. Sometimes this format just kind of, it fizzles out.
I think there's enough drama, in my opinion, and I don't make reality TV shows, so maybe I'm wrong, but there's somebody who just talks about this stuff. In my opinion, there was enough drama surrounding Brittany being the seer and being the last remaining traitor, and who is she going to pick? There's enough drama around that because Brittany is a good talker, because Brittany she is the only gamer left at that point. I think there is enough drama remaining that could have just been how you started your episode, and that could have been the big question we had coming into next week. I don't know how many people tuned in this week for the finale because Danielle was still in it that wouldn't have tuned in otherwise. Because if you're rooting for Danielle, you're probably rooting for Brittany as well. So you were still going to tune in to see, can Brittany avenge Danielle? Can she make it happen? Can she win this game anyway? And I feel that would have been compelling enough. Because again, I felt like after we talked about it for 30 minutes, and we sat here and we read the comments and everybody did everything, and even looking on Twitter and everything, it seemed like everybody had pretty much come to the conclusion Danielle is losing this game here. So I think it was just a misfire, but it happens. And like you said, this is the format of the show. The show always pretty much does start with an exit, end with an exit. And for your finale to have just one person get eliminated, because that's what it would have been. If they had not had Danielle get eliminated at the beginning, the only person who would have been eliminated in the finale is Brittany, because none of the other faithfuls take each other out at the final trial. And so that, I think, would have been problematic. So maybe it does make sense that they kept this in, but that's just my take. I mean, it's not like it removed the enjoyment for me of the episode, but at the end of the day, once she goes home, and we'll talk about the seer and how we felt about that as a twist in a second here, but once she goes home, we have the seer situation with Brittany. She picks Gabby, they have their conversation. She comes to the morning thing and they have the conversation where she says Gabby is a faithful. And then we get what, 25 minutes of a challenge? And the challenge is just to put money in. And I get, like, it looks exciting, it's big, it's grand, whatever. But at this point, as an audience, there's nothing for us here. Like, we're not getting anything. And then you get Brittany getting eliminated, and then you do get a lackluster ending because as an audience, we all know they're faithfuls. The only question is Dolores going to throw red? Once Dolores throws green, we know how the show is going to end. And we also know that if Dylan were to get eliminated, the other three are going to win. There's no more drama there. So maybe they felt like they needed it because otherwise it's a little lackluster. I don't know.
No, that's a good point. Like, because like we didn't get any eliminations at the circle, at the fire circle, then they needed another elimination in the episode. So they held off Danielle's to the front of this one. I can buy that as a reason. Sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's better. I don't know if there's any way to like really make four faithfuls winning that exciting. I think that's the real issue, is that like you are kind of inherently, and I even felt it, I was rooting for Brittany a little bit at the round table, even though I was like, who should win this game? Dylan should win. That's the most satisfying ending. It makes the most sense with the story we've been told. But you're kind of always rooting for the traitors. The show is called The Traitors. It's not called The Faithful. Like, you're kind of rooting for the bad guys to sneak around and get away with it, you know, because they're not actually murdering people. It's a game. You're rooting for the bad guy. And you're kind of, you're in the tour with them. You're in the confessionals with them. You're like in on the joke. So when a possibility of your game ending is four faithful winning and then not even backstabbing each other, I'm not saying it's wrong or that they should have, or like I'm happy for them and I'm happy they won. It just doesn't make for exciting television. That's one of your possible endings, is something that isn't exciting, which is maybe okay. Cause I think the middle of the season was really fun. I think early on the season, we said, this is the best of the three seasons. I don't know if we'll still say that, but hey, you get to episode 10. It's not the most exciting. Is that the worst thing in the world to a lot of TV executives? Yes, it is absolutely terrible. You need to end with a bang. That's why you see helicopters in like all the finales of these shows. Or you see something grand because it is a finale and they do want it to be big and they do want it to be special. But sometimes, I mean, in a format like this, it doesn't feel special. It doesn't feel big. And I mean that in the gameplay, like not talking about the castle, the costumes, or the helicopters, but just in like what happens in the game. Whereas like Survivor, you know you are awarding $1 million check to somebody. Even if it's a 10-0-0 vote, you're going to have a fire-making challenge. That's now built into the finale. You know, you're going to have immunity challenges. Those are all built-in segments of a finale that guarantee that you're going to get something. Whereas like the Fire of Truth, you're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah,
you have this option lingering above you that you might get four people that get there and just go, yeah, we're all faithful and let's do it, which I guess that's how it is. You gotta live with it. I think
you have to live with it, and I mean that's part of your game. And honestly, like it's also frustrating. Like so that's where I do want to say, without being, you know, overly negative about this ending, because I don't think it's terrible.
I don't want to rip on the show because I enjoyed this season as a whole, and it was a satisfying. I like the people that won. I really like that Dylan was in there. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, that finale blew me away. What amazing TV. Because it really, like, that's a very meh episode of what has been a very good show.
Yeah, and look, like, you get those four, they couldn't have played it any better, right? Like, maybe you could get players there who get greedy and say, no, we're going to eliminate people. That's what Trishelle and CT did last season, right? Like, they take out MJ so they can split it amongst themselves. That is one way you end it. We have now seen three totally different endings to the traitors in three seasons of US Traitors. So, you know, which one's the most satisfying? Cerise is the most satisfying, but also that's the only time we saw a traitor win. Out of the faithfuls winning, which one is more satisfying? I think it's kind of a coin flip. I don't think it's necessarily better that last season Trishelle and CT took out MJ, and this season we saw them all win. Because honestly, they
but that was way better TV. Better. That was way better TV. That was a big moment. I remember I was podcasting about it. Like, wow, they flipped on her. They like, because it was like a 1-1-1 vote. Like there was a lot of like tension, like who was going to get eliminated. That was a dramatic moment. And there was no dramatic moment here. And I'm not saying who I like as a winner more or like the season as a whole. I'm just saying when we're building up to a segment of a finale, that final circle last season was incredible TV. And here it was like, I don't know, like watching one of those home improvement shows or something. You're like, cool. That's kind of cool.
So you think if you're watching this, were you hoping that Dolores was going to throw in red? because then you lose Dylan.
No, because then you're losing Dylan. That's, I was like, no, don't do it. But also, like, this is kind of like, I was pretty confident that they were all gonna throw mm-hmm. green. Like, I was almost sure, mainly because of what I said already, was that if Dylan goes, you don't have a, who's your winner? Like, who's the face of the winning group?
Gabby, like, at that point. Yeah.
Gabby, but that was not Gabby's character. That was not the story we got from Gabby. So they would have had to either really build up Gabby or Ivor to be like the strategist, the thinker, the game player that led the group to the promised land. Because if Dylan goes, there was none of that. And so that's why I was almost sure that Dylan wasn't going.
Now, how much fun would it have been, though, had Ivor and Dolores won together after all season, just throwing random stray votes at Ivor? How great would that have been if it would have been the two of them?
Oh, just the two of them. They revealed they were secret, hidden traitor. They were traitorous faithful the whole time.
Yeah, they were just playing together the entire time. They didn't want anybody to know. Look, I the traitors is going to keep working, right? Like, the traitors is the biggest reality show right now. Like, right. Like, it's exciting. All of reality TV stars want to play. It's a big cast. There's a lot. People are willing to go out there. Alan is a phenomenal host. Like, it's exciting. They're not going to make grand changes to the ends. They're not going to make grand changes to the game, right? They don't need to. We can sit here and we can critique elements of it. That's the point.
I don't know, Phil. They have made serious changes, though.
Let me finish my point. They don't need to make serious changes because we can sit here and we can critique it because that's what we do as a podcast. Like, we are here to critique it. We're not just going to sit here and say, wow, here's what happened, A, B, C, D. That's boring. We have to give our thoughts on it. At the end of the day, a lot of the stuff that we complain about, most of the people who are watching the show aren't complaining about. And so I do think that they'll stick with it and they'll just keep going. Yeah, they changed the seer, they changed all that, but they don't need to make big changes right now because it's successful. I will be curious to see what the reaction to this finale is, being that we lose both Big Brother players, being that the seer ultimately ends up being a bit of a dud, and then seeing a four-person faithful at the end. Will they decide to make changes now? Do they feel like potentially people are going to be so disappointed that if they're loud enough on social media, they'll make changes? Or do you think that they're not going to care and people are actually going to be satisfied with this ending?
I think it's like Theseus's ship. You've heard of that thought experiment. I think you make a little tweak each season, and then season 10, you're like, whoa, this is totally different from season one. Like, we're only on the third season of this thing. They have been willing to make changes. I don't think you need to make one big change, but like, not announcing who's banished last at final five, that is a major change to the game. I know it doesn't like affect, you know, the format of the show fully of like what we're watching, but gameplay wise, that's huge and it's better. And I'm glad they did that. That's a really solid change. Adding shields into pretty much every challenge. There was not any shields in season one. Was that even a thing? Or they had them in like a closet where you could go like open a cupboard, but they weren't even in
that chest. Right.
Yeah.
And grabbing them.
Ari kept grabbing him, right? Yeah. And he was the traitor, which is funny. But like, they weren't even in challenges. So we've already evolved this game. And so I don't think they need to change the final circle. I don't think they need to like change the whole format. But I think there are small tweaks we made here to make, you know, the episode and maybe the finale more enjoyable.
Yeah. So I have two questions here for you. And the first one comes down to this final five situation. Them not revealing is so huge, because if they reveal that Brittany's a traitor, there is literally no reason for anybody to vote anybody. The last two people, really, what is it? It would have been three of the last four, because it was Carolyn. Then there was a murder. Then it was Danielle. And then it would have been Brittany, right? I think I have that order correct.
Would that have been three banishments in a row?
That were traitors, I think.
I think so.
And at that point, you're saying, okay, it's clear that none of us are there. So they had to make that change. That was a phenomenal change. That was huge.
Well, they announced it, too, at the beginning of the season. So this wasn't in response to there being four against one or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But that was a well-thought-out change. They read the writing on the wall, and it just so happened that they also made the decision at the right time.
Yeah, and I think
three traders in a row.
Yeah, and that was, like, everyone clamoring on the internet, and us included, I believe, were like, mm-hmm. You gotta not reveal that one at final five.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. No. So that was great.
So that was huge. Let's talk through the seer.
Sure.
What did you think of how this shook out with Brittany getting it and then the setup and the payoff and everything?
From a gameplay standpoint, I actually liked it. I actually thought it worked out pretty well. I didn't think it was a dud. The only thing that was weird for me was like the other three people were in like a waiting room, but then like they aren't supposed to see each other until breakfast anyway. It's like they're also sitting at like this dinner table, but there wasn't any food. They had like forks and knives. It's like, okay, just make it a cocktail table. Like if you're gonna have champagne and there's like an envelope, it's like, why can't the person just say it face to face? Why do you need the envelope? I mean, I like that they burn the evidence. I don't know. I think they could figure out the showmanship of it a little bit more and like tie in that. And I know that's not usually what we talk about, and that's usually not my gripes with the traders because they do nail that so often, but it felt a little clunky of all these steps. And maybe it's just because we haven't seen it before, but I was like, all right, where are we going with this? How is this going to play out? It just felt a little awkward in that regard. But in terms of like the suspense, I mean, once Brittany gets it, it does kind of go, oh man, because like what you actually want is a faithful to get it, and then you're in suspense of, oh my gosh, are they going to choose a traitor?
Yeah.
But then if they do choose a traitor, then it's like, well, damn, then the traitor is kind of just ousted. I thought this was interesting. I thought Dylan gathering Ivor and Dolores and saying, look, if Brittany says that Gabby is a traitor, that means we have to get both of them out, because mm-hmm. Brittany could be lying. So we have to do that. That means one of them is a traitor. And there we go. We get both of them out and we win because we have the power. We have three votes. And then you're thinking, is Brittany going to do that? Because Brittany has this ability now, if she thinks her chops are strong enough, to say, can I put it onto Gabby? And Gabby had been a little bit suspicious. So I was thinking she was going into this saying, hey, Gabby's a faithful. She's had a little bit of heat. She was kind of the second person brought up at that roundtable. I know Ivor got the votes, but Danielle and Brittany were both kind of throwing shade at Gabby. So maybe she can say, yeah, I revealed it and Gabby's a traitor, and just have a one-on-one battle. Now, of course, Brittany played this well because she says, well, then they're just going to vote both of us out. She knew that, and that was smart. So I liked the thought process and the gameplay of it. Was it incredible? No, but I wouldn't call it a dud. I thought there was enough meat on the bone to kind of think about. So I was a fan of it.
What scenario... is there any scenario where Brittany could have survived this, or no way she was drawing dead even as the seer? Because when she gets the seer, you say to yourself, okay, it looks like Brittany's in good shape. She's going to get someone. They're going to be a faithful. It'll be like, oh, I'm a faithful too, blah, blah, blah. Moving on. Was there anybody she could have taken with her that Brittany might not have been the person voted out at four? Should she, or at five, should she have taken Dylan and lied and said he was a traitor?
I don't know. I think she did it. I think Gabby was the right person to pick. I mean, if you pick Ivor, it's like, why are you picking Ivor? You need to pick someone with a little bit of suspicion, because if you pick someone who's obviously a faithful like Ivor, then it's like you're not learning any new information. If you're not trying to learn any new information, you must be a traitor. Yeah. So I really did like the Gabby pick, and I liked how she handled it. I think what really did her in was her crying. Like, you could just feel it. And Dylan said this, like, and even Danielle said, like, basically, you did it to me again. Like, you stabbed me in the back. You betrayed me. And her and Brittany crying and apologizing, like, I can't believe it. And Dylan's like, wait, why is Danielle mad at Brittany when Danielle's the one that's been lying to us the whole time? Like, it didn't add up. And I do think that was such a red flag, not just for Dylan, but for everyone sitting there, that it was so apparent that they were traitors together. Yeah. And that's why you, even Dolores and even Gabby, like, they just all, it was a 4-1 vote at that round table. Like, I know we got this big buildup and Brittany made some really good arguments about Dylan. I don't think this thing was ever getting off the ground with Dylan getting banished, because that was pretty obvious. And they really should have, I mean, it was too late once she said it, but like, they got to make sure these traitors don't single anybody out and don't say different things to different people. Cause you're at that point, you should be out of the game. Like, you can't. Yeah. Now reveal game information. And even if you don't, I don't think Danielle did this with intent. She wanted a badass final moment. She was just betrayed by someone who had clearly betrayed her before. Like, get your fun moment, get your last laugh, like your whatever Wes did. And people always have their funny one-liner, but this was like a step too far of like isolating a person that's still in the game and influencing their shot at winning. So that is a change I think that they should make.
Yeah. The fact that Dylan clocked that is what makes it an issue, right? Because obviously they're saying stuff at these roundtables.
I think Gabby probably clocked it too, man.
You think so? Yeah, I mean, Dylan's the one we heard.
Yeah.
Because, like, the fact that, you know, we hear them say stuff all the time, and a lot of times we as an audience are like, oh my God, did they catch that? But a lot of times they're not catching it, right? Like, it actually is just, oh, they said it. They're almost leaving that in the edit for the audience, not for the players out there. But the fact that Danielle said, you did it to me again, and then reveals herself as a traitor, and right. Like you said, probably multiple people clocked it. It's, you wouldn't say that if you were if you weren't on the same team.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the issue. It was clearly that they were playing on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, look, at the end of the day, we had earlier in the season, I don't know if they're ever going to change this, because earlier in the season, we have Tony saying, you're a sellout, bro, to Boston Rob. I mean, so maybe they love this and maybe they're never going to change it. But that might have been what ultimately made them all choose Brittany over Dylan, because it seemed like the argument at the round table by Brittany was convincing enough to put some votes on Dylan. But they were all just like, no, we're going to go Brittany anyway. That might have been what did her in. That might have been like the sole thing here. I'm not saying that's not right, but maybe.
Maybe not the sole thing, but like one of the major things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that, because like we've talked about, Brittany should have been in the clear after Daniel's exit. Big brother player, woman, like, not me, you know? And I was surprised that, you know, it didn't come up earlier when they were discussing traders. It took so long. It didn't come to the round table where they started talking about the possibility of a recruitment. Like, I think it's somebody here that got recruited late. Because, like, even if I'm a trader, if I'm Brittany, I think Dylan was the most faithful of the faithful. And I would start getting that rolling. Now, obviously, it could be thrown back in your face. Like, what if it's you that got recruited late because Danielle was there and you were friends? And maybe that's drawing too much attention to it, yeah. Especially with that reaction of Danielle and your reaction crying and being so sad and broken up about it. But I think there was a little bit of room to kind of like throw shade on people by saying, I'm not saying you've been a traitor the whole time. We've already eliminated 4 traitors. Like, mm-hmm. Someone had to get added mid-game, and maybe there's something you can use that with. And maybe, you know, Brittany wasn't the right person to use that argument because of Danielle. But and I at least like those types of arguments, like using the game or like pass votes. I'm surprised we didn't get many pass vote arguments either. So,
yeah, for me, the argument that probably was being made that ultimately didn't make the cut because it would have made things too obvious was them all saying, well, Carolyn went and then Danielle went. So there's a good, if there was a recruitment, the only person Danielle would have recruited is Brittany. And I think that probably was a conversation that was being had that they weren't showing to us because they didn't want to make it so telegraphed for our audiences at home. But that's what I believe, is that conversation probably happened, because at that point you can't assume that we're going into Final Five with no traitors. They don't want that.
And I think,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think here on out, like anyone who goes to play the traders, and they, you know, everyone should watch at least a couple seasons, and you should watch this season for going on next season. You always know there's one trader at Final Five because it's almost a rule. Like we got that exposed to us, what, 2 episodes ago?
Yep.
Like
it was this season. Yep.
Because at Final 7, there needs to be what, 2 traders, or at Final 6.
It was at Final 7. There had to be 2 traders. So it was Carolyn got eliminated at 8. There had to be 2 traders for the next murder. And then they murder right, somebody. So it's Final 6. Yeah.
Right. They murder someone into Final 6. So you know at Final 6, there's going to be 2. Mm-hmm. And at Final 5, if you get one at 6, there's going to be 1. Like, you know that.
Yeah. And the only way that there's not 2 at Final 6 is if the person denies it and gets kicked out of the game at 7. Like, it's so ridiculous. Because that person, like, it was an ultimatum. So she would have had to go home. So it's stupid. But there's always going to be 2. So you know that there's always going to be 1 at 5. So yeah, if you
maybe that's not a good thing to know. I mean, you kind of know how many traders there are then.
Well, because then that was going to be my question is, if you get a faithful at Final 5, or at Final 6, I'm sorry, and they reveal themselves as faithful, now you're going into the Final 5, you know that there's 2 traders based on how the rules were set up for this season. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe each season's different and they play by different rules. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that could
be something that evolved for sure. You just can't imagine you get to a round table at Final 5 and they're not being a trader, just for like the TV part. You need to have some suspense. Because at that point, the viewers are like, okay, I guess the faithful win, and we're going to do 2 more rounds of voting.
Well, that's also the problem with this being, I mean, it's a problem no matter what show or network or whatever you're watching. Like if you're on a streamer, if you're on the channel, whatever it is, you know, there were 15 minutes left and they hadn't gone to the Final Four situation. You can do the math that there's not enough time. And then they got, I think they got to the Final Four situation with like 8 minutes left in the episode. And it's like, you could figure out the math that Dylan is not getting eliminated from this game.
Yeah. Those are called that time spoilers. When you look at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. And you can't help that. I mean,
that was always with the Genius. If anyone's watched the Genius, you would always kind of, you'd be able to tell how close you are to ending, and they would play these death matches that don't have like they'd end at certain points, and the writing became on the wall. You're like, okay, now I know who's going to win or lose based on how this is going. We don't have time for this person to catch back up. That can be a little bit annoying. I was trying not to look at that, but yes, that's absolutely a thing.
Yeah. And we paused it because we literally had dinner with 15 minutes left. So we paused it and it was 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, well, this is over. And then that's, you know, you were just talking about the lack of drama at a Final Five. As an audience, we need to have at least one traitor there. I almost feel like there needs to be a traitor in the Final Four. I mean, it would have been better. Look, Dylan would have gone home. So I'm happiest that Dylan won. I am happy that the Big Brothers didn't win. Like, I think that this actually worked out pretty well, but you probably want to at least one traitor in 97% of your Final Fours, because that's going to make that more compelling. The question of the show should be, are you faithfuls or are you traitors? Not how many faithfuls are going to win. That's tough.
Exactly. I honestly think this could be a change that you just have prize money that isn't split up. And it's like, if you're a winner, you get $100,000. It's like, so if three traders win, that's a $300,000 prize. If one trader wins, you get $100,000. Then it's not about incentivizing, like, I need to take out people on my own team. It should be team versus team. At least that makes for a pure game. Now, part of the fun this season was traders going after each other. And like, there is so much intrigue to killing people on your own team, so you get more share of the money. But I don't know. It just feels like you're transitioning into a different type of game. Like you're just playing this traders versus faithful game the entire season, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, now we're gonna like devour ourselves for no.
You think
reason
they'd ever make a maximum winners? Do you think they'd ever do like you have to get down to Final Three, so at the last thing you have to vote somebody out, or do you think they don't care and they're happy with this?
At least this is interesting. Mm-hmm. I was interested by it. It's just not dramatic, I guess.
Yeah.
But four is the maximum. You can't get more than four.
Yeah. Well, at that point, everybody's going home with like $25. Like, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, that's where that's
I mean,
where
you need went. You need people to be able to turn on each other. That's the fun part of these shows. I don't know if there's a fix.
And, then, that, and you what know about what? The challenge? Maybe the producers are sitting here happy about it. The challenge is dumb. We watched the challenge for 35 minutes. It meant nothing. It meant nothing. We're watching them collect money. I don't care. Dylan Efron. I just looked at Wikipedia. He lives in Manhattan Beach. Dylan Efron's killing it. He's doing great. Dylan Efron's killing it. We know he's Zac Efron's brother. Like, Dylan Efron seems like he's doing all right for himself. Ivor, we know, has a bunch of money. Gabby was the bachelorette. Like, Dolores is on Real Housewives of New Jersey. I don't care that they're going to get more money for themselves. Like, it means nothing to me. And yeah, it was epic and it was big. And would I want to be dangling off the bottom of a helicopter? Absolutely not. So I could at least put myself in that position. But it was, you know, it was grand. But it meant nothing. It was filler, in my opinion.
A lot of filler.
Yeah.
Like, long filler.
I mean, they literally ran out with a fake clock counting down to be like, oh, you found your 10 bags of $2,500.
Yeah.
They drove in cars.
The cars are cool. But, like, it wasn't – yeah, what was the point?
Yeah.
What can we do for the finale challenge? Do we do a challenge where you – play for four immunity from management? Is like, that's more interesting.
It's more interesting, but does that kill what they want to do? Because then it's like, well, that person, if Brittany is safe here, they eliminate Dylan, then they all probably eliminate Brittany anyway at Final Four. Is that better?
They could have eliminated Dolores.
Yeah.
Ivor was a little bit on to Dolores early. So I think if Brittany wins immunity, I think Dolores goes. I think Dylan and Ivor were never not going to vote the same way.
Yeah, Dylan and Ivor had something going on there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is that better? I think that's a couple. There's a couple questions challenge-wise.
I think it's better. Is it good though? I don't know, but it's certainly better because this is a nothing burger. This is a zero. So like any change, I think is better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could have literally just fast forwarded through 25 minutes of this episode and just.
I think we have some people in the chat in the comments that I've been saying.
They said that.
I just breezed through the challenge.
And the show had done such a good job, to give credit where credit's due. The show had done such a good job this season of making the challenges more meaningful, because that was our biggest complaint from other seasons. And they did such a great job
of
making it more meaningful. But this last challenge, you're sitting there and you texted me. You're like, this is literally pointless. There's no reason to watch this.
Yeah. No, I think, you don't want it to make it. It's not really a challenge show in that, like, you want to be physical and like who's the best at like running and like strong and but I think you could do some creative, maybe not purely physical game that you play at Final Five, and whoever, and it should be, you know, in the theme of the castle, and maybe some outwitting and a strategic game of some sorts where you're able to give someone immunity at banishment, which it could be just a nice piece of the finale challenge, because without extra stakes, we don't care about the money.
Yeah. No, it's fact. I have one more question that I want to ask. I mean, we're only 40 minutes in, but I feel like in terms of like covering the episode, we've really done it. So if you're here, like the video, subscribe, you know, all that stuff. Here's my one question for you. Do you think that the seer should be introduced earlier in the game in season 4?
Here is why, and I asked you this, so I'm like, there's probably a reason why it isn't introduced until late. It's because this only works if the identity of the person banished isn't revealed. That's why it has to be at Final Five.
Great point.
Because if I'm a traitor and I get the seer role, then I say, Phil, come have a weird dinner with me, but it's not dinner, it's just a champagne glass that's actually not even a real champagne glass. It's in like a weird chalice, and we can this weird conversation. And you show me faithful, and I tell everybody, hey, Phil, he's a traitor. We banish Phil. Then you go up to the circle, and it's like, oh, he was faithful. Okay, Will, well, you're a traitor now. It's like, oh, damn. And
the
it's like,
person
it's supposed
who
to be power. It's supposed to be a bonus, and that would just kill a traitor's game. Unless the rule is, if they put it in earlier, it has to be the identity of the people. The identity of the person chosen by the seer will not be revealed when they're banished. And you just make that a rule.
It's a little clunky, but that makes more sense, because that's a great point, that if you go and you play this and you do this in that way, the person who is chosen by the seer to go and sit there will always be the next person to be banished. Almost like, I'd say like 75% of the time that's going to happen, because people are going to say, well, let's see if they're telling the truth or not. Now we can get information. We can see if the person who the seer was telling the truth. I feel like people would almost always want that in a game where there's not much information to go around.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why you have to hide the identity of that person.
Yeah.
Then that also might be a bonus for that person who's chosen, because it's like, don't banish me. You're not going to learn anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also, you're going to get heat on you if you somehow get picked by a traitor and they say you are traitor when you aren't. That isn't necessarily an advantage either.
Yeah. Yeah. All in all, like, this was, I still think this was better than season 2. I think it was definitely better than season 1.
I think
season 1 is the worst one, I think, for sure.
So this is the best. This is the best season of the traitors.
Yeah. And honestly, the ending,
has it gotten better each season? I think so. Yeah, I know so. Cerise win is like the best win, but like the cast wasn't there yet in season 1. Yeah. It was just, they hadn't gone full reality star.
Yeah. I mean,
yet.
She walked over, I don't want to be a dick, but nobody's. She walked over people who didn't come in with backgrounds or anything, and it didn't matter. And she dupes everybody at the end, because they clearly weren't Survivor fans. Ultimately what this season comes down to is Carolyn and Danielle. That episode where we said, man, they should really murder Dylan, or when it was Brittany and Danielle, they should murder Dylan, and they didn't murder Dylan.
We kept saying murder Dylan.
Murder Dylan. That was the biggest mistake.
It got revealed to us so late, like Danielle and Dylan were super close. And even Dolores was like, I don't think they were. When were they that close? And Gabby goes, oh, they were so close. It's like, you never saw that, so it was kind of hard for us. But you want to take out that guy.
Yeah. Dylan was always the move, and we kept saying that
over and
over.
He was the pilot Pete.
He was. And Pilot Pete got his win, finally. Good for Pilot Pete.
Yeah.
Anything else on this episode?
Anything else? I don't know, man. I think the show's improving. I mean, look what happened. They added Shields challenges. They put a role from Werewolf into the game. Like, actually, a lot of the things we talked about got fixed. They didn't announce the identity at Final Five. Like, I think, Phil, if we keep barking and complaining, maybe they're listening.
Here's my last question, then, if we're barking and complaining. Last thing you're going to say that the NBC Peacock people who are – Alan Cumming, he's a huge fan –
he's a big fan of the podcast.
What role would you want to see added that you think would be beneficial at this point? Now that we've seen it, we talked it out. Like, is there another role that you say you can add that in earlier in the game and that would make sense? Because it seems like they want to keep evolving, and that means that they're going to try to add some new things. This is your pitch to Alan Cumming. What is it?
Oh, man. Can they just – we did a whole podcast on it when we read the rules of each one. I don't – off the top of my head, I think a minion of some sort. Someone who's on the Traitors team, but they don't go in the turret and they're just there to help the Traitors win. And if they get killed, it's okay. As long as the Traitors win, then they share in some of the money. I think that's interesting.
I like that too. I think that one's really fun. I think a Mingin would be great because they are having no power, but they're getting to do stuff. And that could be good instead of recruiting.
Or the Tanner. We just got that from Noah Salmon. He says if you get voted out, you win 50K. But I don't think it should. I think it should be the goal should be either get murdered or get voted out. So you have to get eliminated in a specific way. So I think it's more funny if it's like you have to get murdered. That's your goal, to get murdered, but not banished. If you get banished, then you don't get your prize money. And maybe it's not $50,000. Maybe it's like, oh, no, 50's fine.
50's fine. Yeah, I mean, that's what you win. Yeah, that's about what you're going to win.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun.
I like the minion peach. I'm all.
But if Alan really is listening and NBC's listening, Peacock's listening, I would say – just have a flat prize rate.
Yeah.
Have a flat. Like,
just do regular challenges. Make
and the players were telling us, I would not be surprised because we heard it so much from the players this season, which means the producers of the show are including it in the episodes and telling us how little they care about the prize pot, how much they only care about Shields. Mm-hmm. And if they reiterated that us over and over again, maybe we do see that change.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. All right, that's going to do it for our coverage. That's it. Traders US Season 3 is over. We will be back for Traders US Season 4 at some point, but there's still plenty going on over here. Go check out our recap of Episode 2 of Survivor 48 if you haven't checked that out yet. Blake and I will be finishing up Deal or No Deal Island over the course of March. McKenna and I are doing Australian Survivor. McKenna and Kyle also just did. Kyle, who, you know, he's been a patron for a long time. He's jumping in with McKenna to do Amazing Race, to have a little fun over there. That's always a... it's always a fun conversation, not necessarily the most strategic because it's the Amazing Race, but it's still fun. So go ahead and check out that episode. We still have a bunch here, and then patreon.com/thespecialist. You can get all of our podcasts if you're in the top tier. You can also join our power rankings game for Survivor 48 if you want to. The first week's already over, so you'd be a little bit behind, but you can always make up ground in that game pretty easily. All it takes is one blindside. So thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you thought about the ending. And we'll see you next season for the Traders.
See ya next season.
That felt good.